Take your Bibles this afternoon. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We welcome everyone to the afternoon service of Grace Baptist Church. And you that are online, we welcome you with us as well. Last week we started looking at the thought, by grace ye are saved. So let's read verses 8, 9, and 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For, or because, we are His workmanship. Got that? His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's salvation. And it is God's salvation. Sometimes we hear people respond, and I have too, as well as you. In April of 1974, I got saved. Well, in April of 1974, the more correct terminology would, in April of 1974, God saved me. You see, I got saved implies that I was looking to be saved. And I wasn't looking to be saved until God began to work on me. And then I had to be saved, you see. But last week we looked at the thought of grace. It means favor, it means goodwill, it means kindness. Disposition to oblige another. The simplest definition of grace, and you've probably heard it before, is the unmerited favor of God. The unmerited favor. Let's dissect that. The unmerited. That means you did nothing to merit it. God simply out of the goodness of His nature extended salvation to you, gave salvation, saved your miserable, wretched soul.
Amen.
And that's just what I was. I was a poor, miserable wretch, wicked and vile. Could be, even though I was a so-called good go to church fella. I was wicked and vile as they come. And the thoughts of my mind and the intents of my heart, and even in my disposition towards my wife, towards my parents, towards my fellow man. In general, I was wicked and evil. God saved me and began to work on me. Began to change that disposition and mold it and form it into a disposition that was manifested His grace and His love and His kindness towards me. That salvation which he wrought in me was by grace.
Amen.
And if you have salvation, it was by grace.
Amen.
You did nothing to merit it, to deserve it. You see, that would be works. And God said, if it's of works, then it's not of grace. And if it's of grace, which it is by grace, his word says, then it's not of works.
Amen.
Today we want to look at the next part of it. Well, grace is the unmerited favor of God, but what did he do to bring salvation? Well, our verse says it. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. The avenue is through faith. I've said this before and I'll say it now, and then we'll be looking at some scriptures later on, hopefully before the day is over. Before the day is over. It might be midnight tonight. 11:59. And I suppose if I preached till midnight, we'd have some Eutychus in our midst. Hopefully none that would fall out of the loft and break their neck. As Paul did when he preached till midnight that time. Remember that in the book of Acts? He preached till midnight and Eutychus fell asleep and fell down out of the loft and broke his neck. And Paul come down and restored him to life. No, I don't think I could go that long myself. But salvation is by grace through faith. Remember, we have said many times in the past, and Scripture is going to bear it out, that whenever you see faith, you know that it's not separate from repentance. So, it's salvation by grace through repentance and faith.
Amen.
Whenever you see the word, see repentance. Just the word repentance. It's not separate from faith. It's always repentance and faith. That is, just by a fraction of a millisecond, repentance precedes faith. They go hand in hand. You really can't separate them. So we're looking at the fact that salvation is through faith. Which our verse says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts in chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Look with me here at verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. In other words, there were many who were becoming disciples. It was multiplied. 10 times 10, 100 times 100. Well, the day of Pentecost was 4 chapters back. Was 3,000 souls were saved. They were multiplied in the 6th chapter in Jerusalem greatly. That's how great that multiplication was. It was great. Multiplication of disciples being made. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. the priests, the religious leaders of Israel, received repentance and faith.
Amen.
Repentance of what? Repentance of their sin toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What they received. Also in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That is, Paul and Barnabas, as they returned to Antioch, they opened unto them. They expounded to them how that God had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Huh. He no longer working with the Jews. I mean, yes, all the apostles went to the Jews first, but then they went to the Gentiles. Why to the Gentiles? Why didn't Paul and Barnabas stay with the Jews? Why didn't Peter stay with the Jews? I mean, Peter was a Jew. Paul was a Jew. Barnabas was a Jew. Why didn't they stay preaching to the Jews? Why did they go to the Gentiles? Why did they take the gospel to the Gentiles? John 1. He came unto his own, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Word. Who the Word was with God and the Word was God. Amen. Came unto his own. Who was his own? He came of the tribe of Judah. Of the house of Israel. He came unto his own. And his own received him not. Yes. There were some that did. We would look at the church in Jerusalem and say, 20,000 people. Well, that's a lot of people. How can he say he came unto his own and his own received him not? Because that 20,000 was just a small number of the total Jews that there were, the total Israelites that there were. We read to you this portion in Acts chapter 14, but look with me at what we have in the 13th chapter. In the 13th chapter, and you find in verse 42 that Paul and Barnabas have been preaching to the Jews. And there were Gentiles around, and the Jews got boisterous, and they didn't want to hear it, and verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you Jews. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You see, they forced them to turn to the Gentiles. They forced them to take to the gospel to those that would receive it. And the Gentiles were, at this time, were begging that they come and preach to them. The things that they were preaching to the Jews and the Jews were rebelling against. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be
for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Oh, so it was ordained of God beforehand. Well, let's see just how much of it was ordained of God. That is predetermined by God. Amen. Look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as God had predetermined, had chosen, and determined them to be the recipients of everlasting life, eternal life, they believed. Who believed? Those that God determined beforehand,
yes, amen,
would believe. Believed. So, in the 14th chapter, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, and they rehearsed with the church, as any good missionary. And this is where we get our practice of missions today, where the missionary goes out, he does the work the Lord's called him to, and periodically he comes back and he rehearses with his, particularly his sending church, and then all the churches that are sending money to his support, how the Lord has worked and blessed and saved folks through the preaching of the gospel and added them to his church. In the 15th chapter, in verse 9, a dispute had risen. Some Jews, saved Jews, members of the church at Jerusalem, had gone down to Antioch. Antioch was a Gentile city. Had gone down to Antioch and tried to stir up trouble amongst those saved Gentiles, members of the church at Antioch, and saying, you can't be saved if you're not circumcised. Well, the church at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas included, had a big powwow. And they decided, as a church, to send ambassadors up to the church at Jerusalem, to the apostles. The apostles were at the church at Jerusalem. The apostles got their word straight from the mouth of the horse. Straight from Jesus Christ. And so they send these men up to Jerusalem to have a powwow, and they rehearse it and have a big confab. And look at what he says in verse 9 of the 15th chapter. Well, let's read verse 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, giving to the Gentiles the Holy Ghost, even as He did to us. That's Jews. This is the church of Jerusalem speaking, the apostles speaking, and put no difference between us, the Jews, and them, the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith is the purifying instrument. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, the righteousness of God is the purifying aspect of faith. See, and so everyone who has faith, it's counted unto him for righteousness. For the righteousness of God. Hope I've not lost anybody. Chapter 20 of Acts. In verse 21. And so, the Apostle Paul, counting to the Ephesian elders here in this 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And he says in verse 20, he says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, you Ephesians, elders, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks,
repentance toward God. Why repentance toward God? Because it's God that we have offended. It's His law that we have broken.
Amen.
We're sinners. And sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John chapter 3. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. There's no man that loves the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And there's no man that loves his brother as himself. We tend to love ourselves above everybody else. In favor of ourselves. So he said, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins toward God and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Faith that Jesus Christ came from God? Yes. But what else? Faith that while he lived, they lived as a man? Yes, but what else? There's a particular work that Jesus Christ did that you must have faith in. There's the work of redemption.
Amen.
You cannot redeem your soul. You cannot pay the price. Because you will be paying that price for eternity and never fully pay it. Why? Because you're a sinner. Because you're an imperfect man before God. But Jesus Christ was God. He's the perfect Lamb of God. He is the perfect sacrifice. He's the perfect substitute.
Yes.
To bear my sin and to redeem my soul from sin. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. But even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. We're talking about faith of Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that you're a sinner and there's nothing that you can do? Anything that you do falls short?
Amen.
Of satisfying God? Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're talking about the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We must have faith in the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith which He gives, and the faith in the redemptive work which He did, faith in His shed blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
And it was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed. How many times? Once. Once for me? And then once for you? No. Once for all. And for all my sins. And so he said in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, And it was counted unto him for righteousness. And everyone who believes God, who has faith in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is counted to him for righteousness. Salvation is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God that our text verse is talking about. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift that is given to us of God. Turn with me that back in the book of Acts to chapter 5. The book of Acts in chapter 5. And I know to some this is very elementary. You know it, you've seen it, you believe it, and have for many years. But then some, it may not be so elementary. Verse 30 of Acts chapter 5. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. They're testifying here to the magistrates. Peter and John and the apostles. Mm-hmm. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. He's exalted. He's lifted him up. He's lifted him up on the tree, dying there, shedding his blood, sacrificing his life. Why did he do that? Well, it tells you why. For to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Do you see that? For to give repentance. Repentance and faith is a gift.
Amen.
It's given to you. God said he gave it. He gave it to the Jew, that they might receive life. That they might receive forgiveness of sins. There is no forgiveness of sins without God giving you repentance.
Amen.
And faith. Now to show you the link between repentance and faith. I keep talking about repentance and faith. Turn with me to another passage of Scripture in the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter of the book of Acts. And begin reading with me in verse 15. And as I began to speak, this is Peter here recounting his visit with the centurion, the Roman centurion, and that band of Gentile soldiers, though all those that were in Cornelius' house. The Gentile, and he's recounting to the Jews what took place. And he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us. As on us Jews, at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, he's talking about the gift that God gave. What is that gift that God gave? As he did unto us, what was the gift that he gave unto the Jews back there in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31? Repentance. Who believed. Unto us who believe. Also, I heard Peter talking about in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31, he called it repentance. Here he's calling it belief. He's calling it faith. Who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Amen. You see, repentance and belief in the same accounting.
Amen.
Repentance and faith are inseparable. They go hand in hand. People that say they believe but have never repented, well, they don't have faith. People that say they repented but they've never believed, they don't have repentance. You see, they go hand in hand. Then Romans chapter 6. For the wages, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Is death. But the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Well, we just told you. Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith are the gift that God gives. But the gift of God, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life. Faith is the gift of God through the Spirit. And it keeps giving. And it keeps giving. And it keeps giving. Did you realize? Now, don't try to read more into it, but did you realize that faith here is a TH word? I mean, not that there's a word without the TH, because there's not. That'd be faith. We don't have such a thing. But faith is a TH word. But you find it in the Word of God. He that believeth. He that believeth. Belief is what? Faith.
Yes.
He that believeth. That is, he. I believed in April of 1974, but I've kept believing ever since. Then. Even times of rebellion and sin, when I begin to doubt and to question my salvation, I could always go back and say, no. No, I believe, and I'll continue to believe. I continue to believe Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for this sinner. He shed His blood for this sinner so that this sinner might have everlasting life. You see, we find that thought that the Holy Spirit continues to work that in us. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. You see, He gave us faith to begin, and He keeps giving us faith. We keep growing in faith. Was that this afternoon we sang Living by Faith? Or was that this morning? Whatever. Living by way. We keep living by faith. And most of the time we have to confess. Yeah. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Increase my faith, Lord. And He does. He keeps growing that faith, keeps increasing that faith right till the day we die. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, that great faith chapter, the heroes of faith are in that chapter. They all were given faith during their lifetime, and that faith never departed them.
Amen.
That faith never departed them. It went with them to the grave. You see. And then they realized the promises of God to its completion, to its fullness. There is no grounds for boasting. No grounds for boasting whatsoever. That's what our text says. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Well, now you would think here that the Spirit of God knew what was in man.
Yeah. And he does.
And he does. We like to boast about the things we do, don't we? And the things we accomplish. Mm-hmm. And some maybe we don't boast before other people, but we in our mind we get to thinking, you know, I've done pretty good. Look what I've done. Yeah, look what I've done. My father, I used to have a father-in-law that used to say, just like that old hen laid the egg, said, look what I did. Look what I did. You know, when she cackled, hen cackles when they lay an egg. They're saying, look what I did. Look what I did. We was watching an owl at the zoo the other day, and this owl was setting her egg. And she got up from her egg, but stayed right close to her egg while she grabbed food from the zoo attendant to eat. And very protective of that egg. But as I watched that, I almost thought, in some ways, she's kind of gloating over that egg, too. Because she put her foot on it and kind of turned it a little bit, you know. And there, she was gloating over that egg. She was proud of that egg, and she was going to protect that egg.
And don't you try to get it. Because imagine you'd find out how sharp her beak was if you tried to get it. Well, men are great boasters. We're just like the Pharisees. Just like the Pharisees in this morning's message. We would boast if we had anything to do in our salvation at all. In fact,
we that are saved, sometimes we get to thinking and give the appearance to other people that we think we're doing pretty good. I've had people say, well, you think you're better than everybody else. Well, God knows my heart. I don't think I'm better. I know I'm not better than anybody else. I'm just a poor sinner saved by grace. You see,
he said in verse 8, he said, not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. If it's of yourselves, it presupposes that there's work involved. He said it like this in the book of John in chapter 1. John chapter 1, and pay attention to this word. In verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him... Sounds like we did something here, but we didn't. Because watch this. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. It's God that gave you the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now notice what he says. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We were born again, not of blood, not because my mom and dad were born again, not because your mom and dad were born again, not because Uncle Billy willed you to be saved, or because the pastor willed you to be saved,
but because of God. Because of God and His working, we are saved. So it's not of ourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. That, you can take the word lest. It's not a word that we use so much anymore, but we could say, not of works that any man should boast. That's what we would say, that any man should boast. If you're saved, your salvation is all of God. And if it's not all of God, you're not saved. If you had anything to do with your salvation, you have not salvation. You have works.
and works profit you nothing.
Amen.
No credit on the part. There's no credit on the part of the creature. None whatsoever. Not of yourselves that any man should boast. Your works will not save you. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 tells you what your works are before God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And even in all my practices of going to church and leading the song service and teaching a Sunday school class and everything, I wasn't seeking after God. I was doing that because, well, that was expected of me. I was raised in church all my life. As a young child, I saw him taking part in the Lord's Supper. Well, I wanted to take part of that bread and that grape juice too. And the only way I could do it is by making a profession of faith and becoming a member of the church. And then I could take that wafer of bread and that cup of grape juice. And it tasted pretty good. No saving in it.
Amen.
No salvation in my life till almost 23 years of age, when God got hold of me.
Amen.
When God got hold of me and brought about repentance and faith in my life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, I said it earlier, reference, there's no difference between me and an unsaved individual. The only difference is God.
Amen.
God saved me. God hadn't yet saved them. Maybe God never will save them. That's His business. Out of all the people of the world that God purposed to put on earth and knew that they would be sinners greatly. They were sinners greatly, are sinners greatly. Some of those He loved. I don't understand it. I liken it to this. I mean, you watch some men and some men act like they love all women of the earth. But I only love one woman. Mm-hmm. That was my choice to make. I fell in love with it. Jeremiah 31:3 tells us that God loved us with an everlasting love. God, who is eternal, loved us the moment we were there. Was never a time that we were on His mind that He did not love us.
Amen.
And the amazing thing is, when you consider that we're all sinners, the amazing thing in all of this, because people have a problem with God loving some and not loving the others, the amazing thing is that God loved any of us.
Amen.
Because we're all sinners.
Amen.
We were all enemies of God. But He loved some.
Amen.
And for those He loved, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, while they were yet enemies, to die for them.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 and 8 tell us that blessed truth. But God, His grace, His grace. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 tells us not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us
John chapter 6 and verse 63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that maketh alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the gospel, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said. Romans chapter 10, in verse 3, the Spirit of God says here, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is the Jew, the Israelite, Paul's kinsman according to the flesh, and going about to establish their own righteousness. You see, they were working to obtain favor with God. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, the righteousness of God is by faith, not by works. It's by faith. And he said they have not submitted. Look with me at the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, where once again the Spirit of God says to us, and he found, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. This is the Apostle Paul speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 tells us. Well, let's turn there. There's a couple verses there I want to read. We'll close with this thought. Well, where'd Isaiah go? There he is. Isaiah chapter 64. Look with me here at verse 5. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth. God's wroth. Why? Why is God wroth? Why is God mad? Why is God angry? For we have sinned. In those is continuance. And we shall be saved. Look at verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, all our works, all our what we perceive, what man perceives to be good works, are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. There's none that'll seek after God. There's none that'll do what is necessary to please God. Only by His grace, only by His working, only by His moving upon you will you. One more passage. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 27. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Well, I think we know the answer to that. Nay, but by the law of faith. You see, salvation is by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together, be dismissed in a word of prayer? Brother Harold, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?